verses 13 to 25. Excuse my wife. She's still on a learning curve. You had second. Okay. Yeah. Because we're talking about going through some difficult times. You know, a lot of things that we've done in the past 7 or 8 weeks have been encouraging. And yes, we can again make some encouraging comments here about the message that we're going to have today. But we're also talking about times when things aren't going well, and how do we respond when those things don't go well? So before we start, let's have a word of prayer as we begin today. Dear Lord, if you've been here for this year, last year, you know I like to reflect back, because, you know, reflecting back helps us to remember when things were different. Well, going back to the 80s, there was a guy on TV named David Horowitz, and he was one of the originators of consumer advocates, and he had a program called Fight Back. And so he went through these things of how to take care of your money, how to avoid being ripped off, and so forth. And he's the one that came to mind right away when I thought about this message. Another one, a little more contemporary, is Clark Howard. So if you hear Clark Howard on the radio, he says, here's how to save more of your money and to avoid being ripped off. And if there's anything that we can't stand, it's being scammed. My wife will tell you that she can't count on two hands, but she can count a number of times where she's gotten scam phone calls. They become an annoyance because you got to respond to it in some way, even if you just got to push the button on your phone and say, not going to answer that one. And so we've all been through that. And so if you've been ripped off, scammed or cheated in some way, you're in good company with many of the people in the Bible. For example, David was done wrong by Saul. Esau was cheated by Jacob. Joseph was brutalized by his brothers. And Jacob got a raw deal in body and soul. So it's happened through the scriptures, and it still happens today. Now, our reactions to unfair treatment can come in one of three ways. We can blame one or more people and doing whatever it takes to get revenge. Or we can feel sorry for ourselves and wallow in self-pity. And the person I think of, or character I think of, is Eeyore. Woe is me. I just got ripped off. Or put ourselves into a holding pattern of seething beneath a calm surface. That guy does that to me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You know, that, you know, we clench our teeth, but we say, yeah, I'm okay. No, we're not. So from a human standpoint, these are all natural and human. And Peter gives us examples that will outweigh any of these that we can think of. So as we start in verses 13 to 17, Peter directs readers in Asia Minor to look to Jesus to help in hurtful times. And we know that's true. We know that we're going to go through hurtful times. Again, I refer back to an ad on TV, Car Shield. You know, it's not a matter of if your car is going to break down, it's when it's going to break down. And so you need our product. Well, in the Christian life, it's not a matter of if you're going to go through hard times, it's when you're going to go through hard times. And so Peter directs readers in Asia Minor to look to Jesus for their help. And this was during the time of the leadership of the Roman Emperor Nero. And as I used to tell my history students, Nero was no hero, because he was kind of like the godfather of the Roman Empire. All he had to do is make a simple motion like this, or turn his head like this, and his assistants knew that this person was to be executed or punished in some way. And so it was a very difficult time. You know, they said that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Well, he was trying to eradicate the Christians in that process. And so, as it were, the Christians were on trial on a daily basis. We, in some respects, are on trial on a daily basis. It says in the verse, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Now, the word submit means willing subjection to another's authority. So we're kind of in that situation with our own government, whether it be federal government, state government. We have to be in willing subjection. We don't necessarily like it sometimes. You know, when we get our tax bill or we see some legislation that seemingly is unfair, but the Bible says we need to submit. Matthew 22:21 says to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto the Lord the things that are Lord's. That's an act of civil obedience. We have to follow through with whatever the Lord's put before us. Now in 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2, and my Bible is elsewhere because I already had it marked in my Bible. Thanks. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And isn't that what we really want? We want to have a peaceful life. We want to have a nice home, nice surroundings. We want the government to agree with us. They want us to reduce our tax bill and so forth. But that's not the way it is. But that's what Timothy is saying here, that we need to submit ourselves, that we may live that quiet and peaceful life. So what do we do? First of all, we need to pray for our rulers, whether we agree with their policies and politics. Now, we're not going to name names today because that's not why we're here. We're here to study God's word, and that's what we're going to do. But as they say, if you can think of a name, whether it be on a state government level or federal government level that kind of fits any of these categories, then you know who you need to pray for. Verse 15 says, doing right may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, the word silence there means to muzzle. Wouldn't it be nice if sometimes you get those interviews on TV and somebody is spouting off and it'd be like, put the muzzle on them. Because, you know, it's almost like they're the ignorant ones. But we have to remember, sometimes we have to be loyal to a different king. Sometimes we have to be honoring to a rebellious sect. And sometimes they're subversives. You know, we saw the people downtown that were marching, no kings, no, and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't get that. I don't understand what their problem is. But they had the right to be there. And I was thinking, as I was doing this message in Eastport this weekend, they've got the Mermaid Festival. And if you're a few mermen, too, if you get my drift. And so, it was like, how can they do that? How can they allow them to do such a thing? Well, the same legislation that allows them to do that is the same one that says Ridge Baptist Church can hand out water on 4th of July. And if we shut them down, who's to say that we wouldn't be shut down either? So we kind of have to stretch that First Amendment quite a bit. So doing right before God would muzzle the mouths of spreading vicious and erroneous rumors. You know, it doesn't matter who the president is or who the governor is. You know, they're liars, right? It didn't matter if they're Republican, Democrat, or what they are. Oh, they're liars. But is that our take on it? The Bible says we need to submit. And even though we don't like the situation, we still need to submit. In verse 16, it says we are to submit even if we didn't vote for them. We may think their laws are senseless and excessive. And we are the bond slaves of God, and we are obligated to serve and bring honor to his reputation publicly. You know, I'm always admonished at people, and when we see it more with athletes lately, and when they have a good game or they've accomplished something, and they say, I praise the Lord for being able to do what I just did. And we say, that guy's a Christian. Must be, because he's honoring the Lord. Again, First Amendment rights. Are you going to say, no, you can't say that on TV? Sure you can. Honor the Lord publicly and let people know where you stand. Verse 17 tells us to honor and respect all, regardless of their faith in Christ, godless lifestyles, and attitudes towards Christians. Ooh, that's going to be a tough one to work on, huh? Because there's a lot of folks that we don't like their lifestyle. We don't like their beliefs. But they're a sinner that needs to be saved, just like we were a sinner that needed to be saved. And so we need to look at that person's life the way Jesus looks at their life and not the way we would like to look at their life. It says in that same passage, love the brotherhood. Now the love in that verse is that same agape love, which is unconditional. We love them in spite of their sin, just like Jesus loved us in spite of our sin. And God must always be reverenced and honor the King. We honor the King even though he hates us, hates his own people, and hates God. We were pretty close in 2001 at 9/11 to a regime that hated the USA, hated Americans, because they look at America as a Christian nation. And here was their opportunity to fly some planes into the World Trade Center and kill people for the sake of Allah or whoever they were worshiping. And so we need to be careful, because there again, souls going to hell, souls going to heaven. We need to be careful with how we think. Even they don't like us, we still need to love their soul and pray for them. So we must wisely and prayerfully approach our responsibility to submit to human government. Only God-given wisdom can help us to live appropriately this way. And I'm not telling you this is easy. These are difficult things to do, because we pretty much have our minds made up as to who we want to worship, who we want to serve, and we don't really look at those other folks as being worthy of heaven, but they are. We saw on that Dispatches from the Front not too long ago, people that were in a foreign country that worshipped another god, but still need Jesus as their Savior. And so we need to pray that way, that God will work in the hearts of people, not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of others. Now, in verses 18 to 25, the whole thing changes to deal with slavery. So we've been talking about submitting to government. Now we're talking about slavery. Now, in Peter's day, slavery was different than what we think of nowadays. Back then, if you were a slave that was owned by a master, you were pretty much treated in the marketplace the same way that master was. So if you went to the marketplace or your master and you needed to purchase certain items and you were wearing a certain color or something to identify yourself, it was like, oh yes, we'll take care of you. Because they recognized you as being a part of that master. And if you do the slave wrong, you're going to do the master wrong, and you're going to hear about it. So back in those days, yeah, it depended on who your master was, whether you got treated fairly or unfairly. it was miserable and in some cases deadly. If the master found out that you had newfound faith in Christ, all of a sudden a slave that was supposedly a good slave and a faithful slave was no longer wanted. And we can refer to Joseph through all that in terms of being treated unfairly. In verse 20, we see the word buffeted. And the word buffeted there in verse 20 means to be hit with fists. You know, I'm being treated unfairly, and so I have to be careful of that. Peter urges Christian servants to submit their masters, to submit to their masters, even those that are rough and unreasonable. Some of you have already gone through your career. You've been retired for some time, but you can think of a boss or someone you worked with that did not treat you fairly. And it was tough to go to work every day because you knew that that guy or that person was going to not treat you right. Sometimes they didn't treat you right because you were a Christian. They knew you were going to take the punishment, and so they meted it out and made lives difficult for you. Sometimes they just made things unreasonable so you would quit. Didn't want you around. Kind of like that slave that had given his life to Christ. Don't want you anymore. And they would do anything that they could do to get rid of you. And so this is the life that some of us have lived. We've gone through some times where our boss was difficult or near impossible. We've gone through some times where maybe you've been married more than once and your original spouse was difficult and unreasonable. But as we think about these things, didn't the Lord take care of us through all of that? I mean, as we sit here this morning, you're rejoicing in the Lord. You're glad to be in God's house. He has brought you through more storms than you'd like to think about, some that you'd even like to forget about. Now, in verses 21 and 22, we may suffer unjustly because of a cruel dictator or an overbearing boss, but we shall participate in Christ's ministry of unjust suffering. We see things happening to us, but then we think, you know, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We suffer on the behalf of unbelievers who need to see the gospel played out in our lives. You know, as we said last week in our message, we don't necessarily wear a t-shirt or anything, but there's people who know us to be Christians, and they're watching us to see how we react to different things. Now, I had mentioned a couple things here in my notes, and not to make anyone feel bad or anything, but some people are going through a time of chronic illness. And I think of Paulette Matthews, who has had cancer. And yet she has a glowing testimony, even though she's going through a time where it would almost seem like that cancer was terminal. That's a testimony that other people need to see and other people need to appreciate. Sherry just went through a lost pregnancy. And if you, like Judy and I, went to see her on Thursday, there's a testimony that's glowing before the Lord and seeing how the Lord worked in her life and that young baby's life during a time when other people may have lost faith in the Lord, given up hope, or something like that. These are the people that we need to think about who have gone through the battle, have gone through the storm, and have come out pure as gold. Nobody has suffered as unjustly as Christ. The verse that we used in the bulletin this morning, Romans 12:19, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It's not up to us to even the score or to get even or whatever you want to call it. In verse 23, Jesus endured undeserved judgment. And in verse 24, it says, he did this all for us. And when I see that verse, I think of the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't have to suffer that way on the cross for us, but he did, so that we can sit here this morning and praise his name and give a testimony of what Christ did for us on the cross. Now, in Isaiah 53:5, we see a little bit in that verse 24 where it talks about, he healed our souls that we might live a new life of righteousness. In other words, a healing from sin. So there's a God that cares for us. He cared for us in the Old Testament, cared for us in the New Testament, cared for us before we were even born. We can trust our souls to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. So when you look at verse 25 and it talks about the bishop, we're talking there about the one, the overseer, the leader of our souls, who's going to lead us in the place where he wants us to be. So by following Christ's example, we can have unshakable hope in hurtful times. Now, as we get towards the end of this passage, the thing that we have to do is endure the suffering. The world says, stand up for your individual rights. Are we to endure the intolerance, prejudice, and unjust treatment that comes from being a Christian? And the answer is yes. So as we get to the end of this passage, there's some questions for you to consider. You know how I like my 4 points at the end. I only have two today, and those are in the form of a question. So when you face unfair treatment, here's one question you need to think about. Which natural reactions to unfair treatment characterize you? When things don't go your way, when you've been scammed, when you've been treated unfairly, how do you react? Now, as we think about this, think also in terms of what have been the negative effects of these responses. How might unbelievers have viewed Christians or Christianity if you'd had a radical response to harsh treatment? So, as you're going through this difficult trial and so forth, what are our reactions that characterize us? Number two, question, reflecting on Matthew 5:38-42, how does Christ's teaching apply to everyday situations in your life? Now, since it's not up on the screen, here's basically what Matthew 5:38-42 says, and you'll think of it right away as I go through the parts. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, resist not evil, smite the They will smite you on your right cheek, turn to them the other also. If you are sued under the law and they take your coat, give them your cloak also. Like that poor guy in the lawyer ad that lost his shirt, you know. Yeah, they may take your shirt, but, you know, give them something else in addition. Compel you to go a mile and then go with them twain. So going the extra mile with them. Give to them that ask, and don't turn away any of those who would borrow. So there are always people that are in that situation where we want to get it, make it even, where it's a situation that doesn't seem fair. But what do? We talked about the natural reactions. How do Christ's teachings apply to your situations in life? Maybe we're the ones that need the prayer request. Maybe we're the ones that we need to consider a change of attitude. Now, despite the world's take on right and wrong, we answer to a higher authority who was the example of surrendering personal rights for greater glory. Now, none of us are hanging on a cross today, and I looked at this thing this past week on Facebook, and it showed the different ways that the disciples were killed. Peter was hung on a cross upside down. One of them was hung on a cross. It was an X. And so they crucified him that way. And one of them was skinned alive. I mean, we think, no, that could never happen here. Well, maybe not for our generation, but maybe for the next generation. Maybe going through greater persecutions than we can ever imagine. You know, we read the news. We see the earthquakes. We see the tsunamis. We see all these things happening. And we say, oh, the Lord's got to be coming back soon. But what if he doesn't? What's our position with government? Our position with scams and so forth? Are we going to be Christ-like and take the punishment? Or are we going to just give up and say, I don't know anymore? So that's the question or questions that I want to leave with you today. Your natural reactions to unfair treatment and how Christ's teaching applied to your life. I pray that he's spoken to you this morning and helped you to make a good decision for your life. Let's pray.